You'll know that we're following the story of Joseph in the Bible. Joseph, rags to riches, we're on this week. And the Bible passages that we're following in chapter 41, the verses are given there, because if we read all 57 verses, some of you might have fallen off your seat by the time we get to the end. So I've selected verses that we're going to follow. So Genesis chapter 41, starting at verse 8. This passage is entitled Pharaoh's Dreams. So in the first 8 verses, it's describing the fact that Pharaoh had some dreams and was really disturbed by them. So verse 8 says, "In the morning his mind was troubled, and so he sent for all the magicians and wise men of Egypt. Pharaoh told them his dreams, but no one could interpret them for him. Then the chief cupbearer said to Pharaoh, 'Today I am reminded of my shortcomings. Pharaoh was once angry with his servants, and he imprisoned me and the chief baker in the house of the captain of the guard. Each of us had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. Now a young Hebrew was there with us, a servant of the captain of the guard. We told him our dreams, and he interpreted them for us, giving each man the interpretation of his dream. And things turned out exactly as he interpreted them to us. I was restored to my position, and the other man was hanged.' So Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and he was quickly brought from the dungeon. When he had shaved and changed his clothes, he came before Pharaoh. Pharaoh said to Joseph, 'I had a dream, and no one can interpret it, but I have heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it.' 'I cannot do it,' Joseph replied to Pharaoh, 'but God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires.' Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, 'In my dream I was standing on the bank of the Nile, when out of the river there came up 7 cows, fat and sleek, and they grazed among the reeds. After them, 7 other cows came up, scrawny and very ugly and lean. I had never seen such ugly cows in all the land of Egypt. The lean, ugly cows ate up the 7 fat cows that came up first. But even after they ate them, no one could tell that they had done so. They looked just as ugly as before. Then I woke up. In my dreams, I also saw 7 ears of corn, full and good, growing on a single stalk. After them, 7 other ears sprouted, withered and thin and scorched by the east wind. The thin ears of corn swallowed up the 7 good ears. I told this to the magicians, but none could explain it to me.'" And then following on from verse 28, this is Joseph speaking now. "It is just as I said to Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. 7 years of great abundance are coming throughout the land of Egypt, but 7 years of famine will follow them. Then all the abundance in Egypt will be forgotten, and the famine will ravage the land. The abundance in the land will not be remembered, because the famine that follows it will be so severe. The reason the dream was given to Pharaoh in 2 forms is that the matter has been firmly decided by God, and God will do it soon. And now let Pharaoh look for a discerning and wise man and put him in charge of the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh appoint commissioners over the land to take a 1/5 of the harvest of Egypt during the 7 years of abundance. They should collect all the food of these good years that are coming and store up the grain under the authority of Pharaoh to be kept in the cities for food. This food should be held in reserve for the country to be used during the 7 years of famine that will come upon Egypt, so that the country may not be ruined by the famine. The plan seemed good to Pharaoh and to all his officials. So Pharaoh asked them, "Can we find anyone like this man, one in whom is the Spirit of God?" Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you." And then finishing off with verse 53 to 57. The 7 years of abundance in Egypt came to an end, and the 7 years of famine began. Just as Joseph had said, there was famine in all the other lands, but in the whole land of Egypt, there was food. When all Egypt began to feel the famine, the people cried out to Pharaoh for food. Then Pharaoh told all the Egyptians, "Go to Joseph and do what he tells you." When the famine had spread over the whole country, Joseph opened the storehouses and sold grain to the Egyptians. For the famine was severe throughout Egypt, and all the countries came to Egypt to buy grain from Joseph, because the famine was severe in all the world. There we go. We've looked at Joseph's life over the last few weeks. I think we've done 2 weeks already. So now we come to this this next stage in Joseph's life. Joseph's life has really been a roller coaster ride, hasn't it? At this point in the story, we don't think he'd, by the end of this time, he's about 30 years old. By the end of the story we've just read, he's about 30 years old. But already, he has gone from being a favorite son to being a slave, and then to being chief steward in Potiphar's house, then to being a prisoner in a prison, but then also becoming the manager of that prison as the trusted prisoner within the prison. And it's not over yet. Joseph's life of ups and downs still continues. I believe we learn more. I've said this a number of times. I think we learn more about ourselves and about God in the trials and hardships of our lives than we do in the glorious times of success. And actually, I think we grow more through those times. We grow more as we feel the pain and the difficulty of having to butt up against things that we don't like and that do cause us to suffer. But if we're able to respond to those things positively, they actually help us to grow. Now, please don't mishear me. I'm not saying that God brings bad things on us. God is a God of goodness. But in this world, difficult times, hardships, trials will come. And I believe God uses them to refine us, to help us to be more like Him, and to learn that we have to rely on Him. In the good times, of course, we can rely on ourselves. In the difficult times, we have no one else to rely on other than God. And that's one of the main reasons that God is able to use those times to help us to grow in faith and grow in our who we are and how we choose to trust Him. Joseph illustrates this point in how he deals with being imprisoned. As well as running the prison himself, Joseph seems to be one of those guys that he doesn't mind extra responsibility. You know, he sort of, in any situation, he just seems to float to the top, you know, and he sort of finds himself in charge, even in the prison when he's imprisoned. As well as managing the prison, Joseph's ability to interpret dreams, the dreams given by God, also comes to the fore in this part of Joseph's life. Now remember, an interesting thing here is this is the same gift that Joseph had when he was a young, spoilt, arrogant young man. He had dreams. Perhaps he hadn't really honed the ability to interpret them, but he had a broad understanding. Those dreams he had as a young man, they're basically saying, "I'm going to be lording it over you, my brothers, and you, mum and dad. And so he had that ability to interpret, but he didn't have the character. He hadn't yet developed the character to be able to interpret them and to share that interpretation in a way that didn't cause offense, but was actually humble and ready to be shared in a way that doesn't get people's backs up. Tough times and heartache have made Joseph humble and also more ready to trust God even in those times of hardship. So we have these two dreams that we didn't read because that was another chapter, and I thought one chapter is about as much as we can cope with. But I do just want to cover the fact that we had the cupbearer. Now, the cupbearer was a very, very significant role in the court of the kings of the time. Because if anybody wanted to kill you, they could just put a bit of something in your drink, and then you drink it, and they could poison you. I'm not sure whether the cupbearer just bore the cup, or whether he actually took a sip from it before he passed it over to you. Obviously, this was before coronavirus. You wouldn't be doing that today. But back then, I think it might have been that the cupbearer also took a sip, so that if he fell down dead, you thought to yourself, I tell you what, I'm going to have a drink of water instead. The cupbearer was a very, very important position, very close and intimate with the Pharaoh, because you were, obviously, if he wanted his drink, you were there to make sure he got it and was safe drinking it. So we have these two men. They were both ex-servants of the Pharaoh. And this man is the cupbearer, and Joseph interpreted his dream faithfully. He would be restored to his position of trust in the court of the Pharaoh. That dream was probably not such a difficult one for Joseph to interpret. It's always nice to give people good news, isn't it? It's nice. I've felt that a little bit with Boris Johnson, actually. I think he's a man that likes to give good news. But I feel as though he's struggled a bit sometimes when he's got bad news to give. And he sort of like tries to, I don't know, dress up difficult news. I mean, this week it's been, we should all be back to something like normal by Christmas. And then the scientists are saying, actually, I don't think that's really the way it's going to go. So I think sometimes our Prime Minister struggles a bit with giving bad news. Well, I wonder whether Joseph also struggled a bit with having to give bad news, because the other person he gave an interpretation to was the baker. Now, I can't interpret dreams, but when you hear these two dreams, you do get the feeling that this dream of the baker's, it wasn't going to go well. So anyway, he's got the bread on his head. He looks like a baker who might have had plenty of his own bread over the years. But anyway, we'll leave that to one side. He had the bread on his head, and all these crows came down and started pecking the bread, and it dropped all over the floor. And Joseph had this gift of interpretation, but as so often with a gift, it can also sometimes be a curse. And I think it must have felt a bit like a curse when he had bad news to give to somebody. And so to this baker, Joseph had to still be honest and faithful in giving the news. He wasn't able to say, you'll be restored, but actually it just means that, you know, your bread's not going to be quite as good as it used to be. He had to be honest and say that... he had to give this news even when it was going to cause great horror and fear. And the news that Joseph had to give was that within 3 days, this baker was going to be hanged. That is a tough piece of news to give somebody. And that was the news that Joseph had to give to the baker. I'm not quite sure what the baker was supposed to do with that news once he had it, but that was the story we have in chapter 40. Of Genesis. So we had this interpretation of these two dreams. Within 3 days, one was restored. Within 3 days, the other was hanged. The cupbearer was asked by Joseph, the one who was restored to his position. Joseph said to him, "When you're restored, please, please remember me to Pharaoh. Basically, put in a good word for me." But as so often happens, once the cupbearer was back in a position of comfort and of security, he forgot about the tough times. And he forgot about those who had helped him in the tough times as well. And he forgot about Joseph in the prison. But it takes a while, but gradually God is working out his purposes through Joseph's life. And we're told at the beginning of chapter 41 that Joseph had to languish in the prison for another 2 years. Another 2 years of faithfulness and hope and patience. What about you? How patient would we be having to really, really struggle with something as difficult as this for 2 years, believing that God had promised he was with him and would vindicate him and bring him to a better place? Really hard, really tough. But God's plan is starting to come together as we get to the stage when Pharaoh has his own dreams that he can't understand. And Pharaoh is disturbed by these dreams, and he asks all of his own dream interpreters, and they can't interpret these dreams. And it's then that finally the cupbearer remembers, "I had a dream once. Oh, Joseph interpreted for me," and then says to the Pharaoh, at least with a bit of humility, "I am so sorry. I have got the worst memory," and says to Pharaoh, "There's a guy that was in prison with me who interpreted my dream." So Joseph then foretells this famine, this 7-year famine that would follow the 7 years of plenty. And of course, it's so easy in the years of plenty simply to enjoy them. But this warning was, get ready, because after the 7 years when everything seems to be fine, there will be 7 years when there is not enough. So get ready in the 7 years of plenty. So we find that this stage in the roller coaster of Joseph's life means that he goes from being a prisoner to being prime minister, basically, of Egypt. Second only to the Pharaoh. And it's interesting, isn't it, that this pagan ruler, the Pharaoh, he recognizes God at work in the life of Joseph. He has wisdom enough to recognize God at work through this man, this Hebrew, Joseph. And he appoints him to administer the relief work and Egypt's preparations for those years of famine that were to come. So just like Potiphar did the same thing. He saw that Joseph was a man of integrity that God was working through. And in a similar way here, the Pharaoh sees Joseph to be a man of integrity who was guided by God. And Joseph acts decisively. He recruits commissioners to go around the country, identifying how much grain is being grown in every area and how much to be put away. And it was 1/5 of the grain each year that was put away to be able to cover those 7 years of famine that were coming. And he built storehouses, massive storehouses for the grain. Because Joseph trusted God and acted on what God had shown him, a whole nation was saved from starvation. At the end of chapter 41, it would seem as though Joseph had everything. We're told in those last few verses that Joseph now had an important job, prime minister of Egypt. He had great status, therefore. He had great wealth. He had a new name, a new Egyptian name, which actually we can't interpret. We don't know what that name means. He had an Egyptian wife, and he had two sons born to him. But it's interesting, the names of the two sons are quite significant, and I want to finish just by recognizing and looking at these names for a moment or two. The first son's name was Manasseh, which of course became the name of one of the tribes of Israel. Manasseh means to forget. And he says, I name my first son Manasseh because God has made me forget all my trouble and my father's household. Now that to me sounds more like a desire to forget than an actual forgetting. You don't forget troubles and hardship by saying, no, it's all behind me now. I never think about it. It doesn't really work like that. And I think the fact that he chose to call his firstborn son, I forget, is a sign that actually Joseph was still carrying great pain from his life, particularly from the way that his family, his brothers, had treated him. The second son that he had was called Ephraim. Once again, I think there was one of the tribes called Ephraim. And Ephraim means twice fruitful. And in a sense, it was simply a reference to the fact this is my second born son. I've had my first son and my wife has now born me a second son. So I, and it was him really, but it was really his wife as well, we are twice fruitful. But also, God has made me fruitful, twice fruitful, in the land of my suffering. A recognition again that this is a place, Joseph was not born here, he was born elsewhere. And he was forced to come to this land. And yes, he's been fruitful, but this has also been a place of great suffering and hardship for him. Joseph wants to forget. And he wants to be whole. And he wants to enjoy the good things of this life that he has in Egypt. But I think the reality is that the pain and the hurt that he has gone through, they are still with him. And the past still haunts him. Next week, we're going to see how God helps to bring healing and restoration to Joseph's story and Joseph's life, as the relationships that have been torn apart so painfully, God brings healing and renewal. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this continuing story of the life of Joseph. We thank you for the challenge that it brings to us today. We thank you that through the troubles of our life, we can turn to you. We pray that when we have troubles, when we have hardships and difficulties, that we will turn to you and throw ourselves on you, recognizing that we can't do this on our own. And that you, Lord, will bring us through. We believe and trust that you will bring us through. We pray, Lord, for those times when we seek to forget difficulties and troubles that have happened to us. Brush them under the carpet. Pretend they never happened. But just like Joseph, it doesn't really work. Help us, Lord, instead to bring those troubles and pains and hurts to you and to ask you to bring healing, to bring forgiveness, to bring renewal. We pray these things in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.